Nehemiah this evening, Nehemiah chapter number 7. Nehemiah chapter number 7, be praying for Miss Larice. I guess she's still under the weather, huh, Brother Larry? So be praying for her and pray for one another. I hope you're going through going through and praying one for another. And I'll tell you what, that's what we need here in our church. I thank you. I'm thankful for all you that have been praying for us. And continue to pray for the church. I was counting yesterday, and we've had 52 people come through these doors visiting or revisitors that don't normally come here since we've been here. And I'm excited about that, just the people coming through. And you never know what God's going to do with that. And I am encouraged by that. And just be faithful. Keep on inviting folks. And God said he'd build his church. And so we're just going to keep on being faithful with it, keep on preaching the word. Somebody asked me, I don't know, sometime this week, probably while I was at Dunkin' Donuts, who knows where, but they asked me, they said, what's the heartbeat for the church? And the heartbeat for this church ought to be the word of God. And the preaching of the word of God, exalting him, it's all about him. And we honor and uplift the Savior through preaching, through singing, and we want to make much of the Bible tonight. So Nehemiah chapter number 7, and notice there in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass, when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a faithful man, and feared God above many. And I said unto them, Let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, and every one to be over against his house. Now the city was large and great, and the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded." Father, tonight, I pray that as we look at Nehemiah's brother, Lord, I pray that we would be stirred to be like him, faithful and fearing God and following the instructions that you laid out for us. So, Father, help us as I preach, help us as we listen to respond in Jesus' name. Amen. I think about that word faithful. The Bible says here in verse number 2 that Hananiah, they both were men that were faithful. They feared God and they followed instruction. You know, that word faithful is mentioned many times in the Word of God. And boy, faith and that word faithful and have many different synonyms that describe that word. But I'm reminded of the importance of faithfulness. I remember when I was in Bible college, I don't know about you, but when I was in college, everything had a nickname. And I mean, you talk about, you know, and not only did they have nicknames, but they were crazy names. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it didn't matter what it was. I had a goldfish in college. I named him Petey. And Petey lived in the back of the toilet. And, you know, stupid things you do in college. But I had a little goldfish. And it just was, you know, everybody knew about Petey. And I had a pink chair. And why'd you have a pink chair? Because it was cool. I got it for $10 at the thrift store. And it was a junk chair, but it was cool. And that was my pink throne. I don't know why. I just college, you know what I'm saying? And college, I look back and I'm like, why did I do some of those things that I did? But I'll never forget in college, I had a 1996 Buick Skylark. My Buick Skylark had a nickname of Old Faithful. I think about that car, how it was completely unreliable and it definitely did not live up to the name. I'll never forget a couple. Or when I was in college, it was fall break, and I decided I was going to go down to Pensacola, Florida. Had some friends down there. We were going to go hang out during those couple days off of school. And I remember we got in an Old Faithful. Man, it was me and four other people. If you ever drove in a Buick Skylark, you understand that's not a comfy car to drive in with people. And, man, you know, college students, you know, some were bigger. And I mean, I'm talking about there was no leg room. It was awesome. All our luggage packed in, stuffed in. We were sardines. Well, we're driving from North Carolina, and we're going right through Atlanta during rush hour. And now I'm telling you what, we're driving through that thing, and now I look down at my thermostat, and man, it is going sky high. And now I pulled over, I thought something is not right here. And now I pulled over, and water is just billowing out of that engine. I still don't know what it was, but I think, you know, it was bad news. And I got nervous. I know when you drive and you break down, Brother Larry, it's no big deal because you know what you're doing. That's not the case with me, all right? If the check engine light comes on, my wife will tell you, my
blood pressure goes sky high. I get nervous, and my hands get all clammy. And boy, I'm like, you know, if the kids are listening to something or watching something, I'm like, turn that off and be quiet. And boy, I get all nervous. I pulled off. I mean, that thing was a mess. And we got back in the car, and we drove down to Pensacola, Florida. Probably would have blown the head gasket. You know, the temperature gauge was all the way up. I mean, it was bad news. But you know, I think about faithful cars, man. That thing would break down all the time. I broke down on the side of the road on Highway 81 in Virginia. I broke down at school. I mean, the thing was a piece of junk. The gas tank had the rust had eaten it through, and it was an unreliable junk of a car. You know, when it comes to driving, especially when I travel in evangelism, you know what I wanted? I wanted a vehicle that was faithful and trustworthy. I had that Toyota Camry. Not the one I have, this is a new one, but I had a Toyota Camry, bought it with the 80,000 miles on it, drove it till 315,000 miles, and it finally hit the dust. But you know, I think about that vehicle, how it was reliable. It never left me stranded on the road. It never, you know, I trusted it. You know, when it comes to driving, you want something that's trustworthy. Hey, if you're a golfer and you're out on the golf course, man, you want that club that is trustworthy. Hey, if you're cooking, you got that right utensil, you want the one that is trustworthy. Whatever it may be, you want that faithful and reliable tool to get the job done, so that way you can have a completed project. As we come to Nehemiah chapter number 7, of course, last week we preached on saying no to oh no, and boy, Nehemiah had finished rebuilding the wall, and they were getting ready to set the gates, and the opposition came to Nehemiah. They said, Nehemiah, we want you to compromise, and we want to have a meeting, and we want to be all friendly with you. Why don't you come and let's meet together on oh no? And he said, oh no, I'm not compromising. I'm sticking with what God's called me to do. And he was a man with a backbone that did something great for God. Well, we come to Nehemiah chapter number 7, and we find that Nehemiah is now dead. He is now delegating some of the responsibilities there in the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says, as Nehemiah looked out in the crowd, as he looked out over the city, that he zoned in on two individuals, and he placed them as leaders over the people. Why? Why did Nehemiah pick Hananiah and Hananiah? Why were these individuals men that stood out and were placed as leaders over the people? Let me remind you, child of God, tonight that God is looking for those that will serve him. It says in Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God's always been in the business of looking for a man or looking for a woman that is willing to step out of the crowd and is willing to be the leader that God's called them to be, whether it's at the workplace. I think about many of you tomorrow, you're going to go to the work field, and boy, you're going to be put in situations where you have a choice to make. Am I going to glorify God? Am I going to be the godly leader? Or am I going to fit in and be like all the other people that are lost and without Christ? I tell you what God's looking for. He's looking for you to stand for him amongst your family, in your neighborhood, as you go to Kroger, as you go to Publix, as you go to Applebee's. I mean, man, God is looking for you. He's looking for me to be that godly leader that has the power of God upon our life. And Nehemiah said, the reason I'm choosing these two men in verse number 2, here was the testimony of Hananiah and Hananiah. The Bible said that they were, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Let me say, first of all, this evening, in looking at these men and their testimony, notice, first of all, how Hananiah and Hananiah were faithful men. We need folks that are going to be faithful. Understand, Sunday morning, thank God for them, but let me just say that's not going to get the job done. We need to be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Then we need to be faithful when there's an opportunity to share our faith. We need to be faithful when it comes to our Bible reading. We need to be faithful when it comes to our marriage. We need to be faithful when it comes to our finances and our money. And we need to make sure that we are faithful in the things that God has given to us, the responsibilities. The Bible says that this illustration of the three individuals that were given different talents. Remember that story, the parable, and one of the stewards or the servants, he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. And remember when the master went away, he came back and he told those servants, he said, when I come back, you're going to give an account for how you spent my money and what you did with those talents that you were given. And so the master goes away, and he comes back and he calls for those servants. He says, it's time for you to report.
Lord on what you've done. And the man with 5 talents came back and he said, sir, I doubled it, and here's 10 talents, if my memory serves me correctly. And one of the master said to him, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The man with 2 came back and he said, sir, I've not only doubled it, but there's more, I have 5. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then there was that one man that had that 1 talent. He said, oh, I took your talent, I buried it in the dirt because I didn't want to lose it. And man, God, the master got all upset with him. Why? Because he was not a faithful steward with what he was entrusted with. I wonder tonight, are you an individual that has a testimony of being a faithful man? Are you an individual that others can look at and say you are trustworthy? I think right at the workplace. Can your boss, does your boss look at you as an individual that is trustworthy? I think about when I was in school, and boy, you know, the teacher would leave the room. The teacher did not look at me and say, hey, I was the one that was always doing stuff when she'd leave because I get away with it. But you know what? When the teacher would leave the room, what would she look for? She looked for somebody to put over the classroom that was faithful, right? And I remember Mrs. Tierney found out 20 kids in her class, there was nobody faithful. So she opened the door to the other classroom and had Mrs. Novak watch. She had eyes in the back of her head, Mrs. Novak. It was unbelievable. But, you know, teachers are looking for faithful individuals. God is looking at you, and God wants you to be faithful. Can I ask you tonight, are you a faithful individual? Examples of those that are faithful people in the Bible, I think about Almighty God. Aren't you thankful God's faithful? The Bible says in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, thy God, he is God, the faithful God. Isaiah 49:7, because the Lord, that is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1, 9, God is faithful, by whom ye are called. 1 Corinthians 10:13, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear him. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. It says in Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Hebrews 10:23, for he is faithful that promised. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore, that let them that suffer according to the will of God commit their keeping of their soul to him as unto a faithful creator. 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Revelation 1:5, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Revelation 3:14, he's the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. One of Christ's names is Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Aren't you thankful tonight that though everybody else may let you down, Jesus Christ won't let you down? We've got a faithful God. We've got a loving Savior that will stand, that will keep his word, that will forgive you, that will sustain you in the midst of temptation, in the midst of trial, in the midst of difficulty, and no matter what you may face this week, no matter what the phone calls may be, no matter what the drama may be, you've got a faithful God that's going to stand with you if you know him as your personal Savior. God is faithful. What is the definition of faithful? I love this. I looked at the old Webster's Dictionary. I think it was 1829 edition, so the old one, and not the cheap ones. Today, you ask Siri, what's the definition for faithful, and she'll give you 2 words, you know. Dictionaries, they have some good definitions. I looked up the word faithful, and the first definition they gave for faithful was firm in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. They gave the verse Revelation 2, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Adherence to the truth and the duties of religion. Number 2, the second definition was firmly adhering to duty of true fidelity, loyal, true of allegiance as a faithful subject. Number 3, consistent in the performance of duty or service. Number 4, observant of compact, treaties, contract, vows, or other engagements, true to one's word. They gave an example, the government should be faithful in its treaties with the Indians. I don't know why they had that, but that's what they had. Number 5, true, exact, in conformity to the letter and spirit, as a faithful execution of a will. Another definition definition is true to a marriage covenant, a faithful wife or husband. The seventh definition is conformable to the truth, as a faithful narrative or representation. Number eight is constant, not fickle, as a faithful lover or friend. And the ninth definition is true, worthy of belief. You know, you look at that definition, and boy, it all-encompassing. When Nehemiah looked out, he looked at his brother, and he looked at that leader, and he said, you know what, there's no doubt about it. By his life and the way he's lived, he's proved himself to be a faithful individual. Can I ask you tonight, child of God, are you faithful? Man, you go through the Bible, you find there are many that God called faithful. Look over in Nehemiah chapter number 9, one page over. Nehemiah chapter number 9 and verse number 7. The Bible says, thou art the Lord, the God who chose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham and foundest in his heart, notice this, faithful, foundest his heart faithful before thee. Man, you know what? You know somebody faithful in the Bible was Abraham. You know, think about Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. And boy, he looked for a city which hath foundations, his builder and maker is God. Abraham was faithful. Moses, Hebrews 3 verse 5, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house. Daniel 6 verse 4, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any guile found in his mouth. Lydia in Acts 16 verse 15. She said, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. Epaphras there in Colossians 1 verse 7, as ye also have learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Tychicus in Colossians 4 verse 7, Paul said, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister. Onesimus in Colossians 4 verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. It says in 1 Peter 5 12, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you. Revelation 2:13. Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. You know, you go through the Word of God and you see those different men and ladies of God that were faithful. You know, it encourages my heart. You say, preacher, why? Because you know what? I look at Abraham's life and you know, I say Abraham, boy, he had a lack of faith when he went to Egypt. I look at Moses, and Moses murdered a man, and boy, there was times in Moses' life where he did not adhere to the Word of God, but God said he was faithful. I think about the other men in the Bible. I think about Epaphras and Tychicus, and boy, not much is said about those men, and yet God said that they were faithful. I think about Onesimus. Boy, you talk about a crazy story. Onesimus in the book of Philemon was a runaway slave, and boy, he probably, from what it looks like, he stole from his master, ran to Rome. While in Rome, he met Paul, heard the gospel, got saved, and was a faithful man of God, a faithful minister of God. His name Onesimus means unfaithful, but when he got saved, he became a faithful follower of God. What an encouragement by that. Slavinus, man, you don't know a whole lot about him. Antipas, don't know a whole lot about him. But you know, as you go through, I thank God, but the reality is this, that you know what? God doesn't necessarily look at you and say, yeah, I have a big flashy title in the Bible. You have to be like, you have to be Abraham and Moses, the main characters. Man, you can be a nobody doing something for God and be faithful. I wonder tonight, child of God, are you a faithful servant of Jesus Christ? It says in Matthew 25:21, well done, thou good and faithful servant. One day we'll stand before the Savior. One day I'll stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He will look at my life, and I will tell Him why I did what I did. Will you stand before your Savior and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Are you a faithful servant today? Let me ask you, are you faithful? And are you heeding 1 Corinthians 4, 2? It says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It says in Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Are you faithful tonight? Are you faithful to the Savior? You say, Pastor, what should I be faithful in? Number one, you ought to be faithful to the local church. Well, number one, you ought to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we understand that. And to keep our eyes upon Him. But the Bible says in Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but is exhorting ourselves, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. We ought to be faithful to church. And boy, we ought to be faithful. Every time the doors open, I ought to be in church. We ought to be faithful to the Word of God. I love what the Bible says, where it says, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, you know what, I'm faithful to my Bible. I wonder, are you faithful in your Bible reading? A child of God, just a reminder, we ought to read our Bible every day. I finished my Bible reading this week and read through the Bible again. And man, came to, Matthew's where I start, and so I finished up in Malachi, and I just was going back. I think that was the 28th time I've read through my Bible. And you know what? I'm not where I ought to be. But you know what I'd be doing? I'd be consistently feeding on the Word of God. Are you faithful in your Bible reading? I wonder, Christian, when's the last time you read your Bible through? Cover to cover, when's the last time you read your Bible through? Thank God we've got the Bible, but you know it doesn't do us any good if it just sits on the shelf. It doesn't do you any good if it just, you know, sits on your phone and is never open. Yeah, I wonder, are you faithful in your devotions to the Word? Are you faithful in giving? The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's that passage, we so many times quote it when it comes to sin. You know, hey, be not deceived, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sin, then you're going to reap sin. But you know that main thrust is, it deals with finances. Are you faithful in giving to God? Are you bringing your tithes to the storehouse? I was reading there in Malachi 3, where the Bible says, will a man rob God? And yet you have robbed me and not bringing your offerings to the storehouse. Listen, we ought to be faithful in our giving. It saddens me that there are many of God's people that are not receiving the blessings of God because they're not faithful in their giving. You say, well, Pastor, I can't afford to give. Let me just say, child of God, you can't afford not to give. You can't. Nah, I didn't plan to go here tonight, but let me just say this. You can't afford not to give. It's not an option. That's what God, by the way, it's just not 10%, all right? I know people say, well, a tithe is 10%. That's Old Testament, a tithe. That, you know what we're under? We're under grace, and we're under the New Testament. And you know what the New it's all about grace given. And then we give, not because we have to, not because it's required, but we give because we love Jesus Christ. And if we give, you know what God does? He just showers his blessings upon us. And boy, you can never outgive God. Man, my wife and I, we can testify over and over and over about how there have been times in our lives where we've been broke. By the way, if you evangelism, we were poor and broke the whole time we were in it, all right? That's why we're a pastor, and we're poor and broke in that, all right? But you know, I mean, man, we haven't had money, but you know what? Whenever God's impressed upon our hearts, last year, friends of ours went to the mission field, and I told Chrissy, I said, we don't have any money, but we're writing a $300 check. We wrote the check, and you know what God did? God brought it in. Man, there have been multiple times that we'd come back from a meeting, $200 in our bank account, God would say, give it away, and then we come home and there'll be a $1,000 check in the mail. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying you can't outgive God. I mean, when I was in Bible college, I said, well, I can't afford to give. I got this big old bill hanging over my head. I can't afford to write the check, $50 check to the church. And so I'll never forget, man, God said, you're not going to give? Fine. I'll show you can't afford not to give. You know what happened? My battery died in my vehicle. It cost me more than $50 to get a new battery, and I said, all right, God, I don't want to experience that again. What did I learn? I can't afford not to give. Are you faithful in the money that God's given you? By the way, it's not your money. It's God's money. You know what? The cash, the check that you cash, it's not yours. What are you doing with it? And by the way, if we were to understand that, you know what? It changed the things we spend money on. It changed our lifestyle. When we realize, man, everything I have belongs to God. And he's entrusted me with that. And boy, I ought to be faithful in making sure I'm a good steward of that. Are you faithful in your giving? I'm wondering tonight, are you faithful as an ambassador for Christ? It says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. You understand the job of ambassador, right, is to represent the United States of America. An ambassador will go to a foreign land. He'll live on foreign soil. And that ambassador is a picture of us as the United States of America. Understand, I am not an ambassador to our country. You know, I'm an ambassador to the Savior. And every place I go, everything that I do, I am reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, the jokes that you laugh at, the things that you watch on television, are they reflecting your Savior? Are you a faithful ambassador for Christ? Boy, Nehemiah said, you know what, guys? I'm taking my brother Hananiah, and boy, I'm taking these guys, and I am placing them as leaders over Jerusalem. Why? Because number one, they were faithful. They were I'll tell you what, I'm going to be faithful till the end. I know Brother Dwayne's a golf fanatic. I enjoy watching it, and today I was watching the Masters. By the way, I love the Masters because it signifies spring is here. And goodbye. But I guess we're in Huntsville now, so really there's never a winner. But Pennsylvania and New Hampshire and Connecticut, where we're, I mean, man, it was always, here's April, the Masters is on. It's like, finally, no more crazy storms, and spring was finally around the corner. But I was watching today, watching Jordan Spieth. He's 24 years old, rookie sensation. Last year won two major events, and just a tremendous golfer. And Jordan has been in the lead for the first 3 days, and up by a good margin today until he hit, I think it was hole number 13. It was a par 3. And man, Jordan's in the lead. I think he was in the lead by 4 strokes. Man, he took that shot, and man, it bounced off the bank and went to the water. So he went to the drop zone. He dropped another ball, and boy, he hit that thing, and it went into the water. He got a double bogey on a par 3. That's 7. That's bad. All right, that's real bad. That's my kind of golf. All right, and I mean, just bad golf day, right? You know, I thought as I was in there, I saw that, I thought, you know what? Jordan was faithful all the way until, you know, he had 5 or 6 more holes left, and he would have won the Masters, and he would have got a green jacket. By the way, he might still, who knows? But I thought, man, I don't want that to be my Christian life. I don't want to be faithful all the way till I'm 62, or until I'm 71. Or till I'm 32, or whatever the age is. I don't want to be faithful and then just stop and boy become. I want to be faithful till the end. And Nehemiah said, there's no doubt about it. I've watched this man's life. Number one, he was faithful. But notice, second of all, in verse number 2, he said, and for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Number 2, he was a man that feared God. You know, we hear that word fear, and so many times we think, well, fear is, I'm scared of the principle. My kids are scared of the principal because it's me. But, you know, we think, well, you know, we're fearful. Let me just say that I'm scared of an upcoming surgery. I'm scared to do, no, this is awe and respect and obedience. You know what Nehemiah said? He said, I've watched this man's life and there's no doubt about it. He came to me when I was in the palace. He was a man that had a burden. He was the first man there in Nehemiah chapter number 1 that said, hey, Nehemiah, Jerusalem is broken down. He was a man that was broken. He said, somebody's got to do it. What prompted Hananiah to do that? It was the fact that he feared God, and his fear of God, his love for God, prompted him to act upon that. I wonder, are you an individual that is holding God with fear and awe and reverence in your life? Or is God just something that we tag on in our life Sunday and Wednesday? I'll tell you what, he feared God. He had respect for him. Do we hold God in his righteous place in our lives? Or are we individuals that just talk about him when we're at the church house? Do we do what we do because we love him? Or do we do what we do because it's required of us? Well, I got to check it off my spiritual checklist. Nehemiah was a man that feared God. Number one, he was faithful. Number two, he feared God. But notice thirdly and lastly there in verse number 3. It said, and I said unto him, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. While they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, and every one to be over against his house. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. You say, Pastor, what was Nehemiah talking about? Hey, Nehemiah was just giving Hananiah, and he was just saying, hey guys, here's some words of advice. Here's some instructions for you. Guys, I want you to shut the doors. Guys, I don't want the gates open all the time. Hey guys, I want you to, what was Nehemiah saying to his brother? He was saying, listen, here's what I want you to follow me. I want you to follow the instructions. Hananiah, number one, they were faithful. Number two, they feared God. But number three, they followed the instructions. They followed the manual. I wonder tonight, are you an individual that follows the manual, the Word of God? Again, I've quoted it many times, but let me remind you tonight. The Bible says, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers also. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Are you following the instructions? I think about instructions. My kids have desired bunk beds. And I'll be honest with you, I always wanted a bunk bed growing up, and I didn't have one after, you know, as 4, we got rid of ours, and I was always jealous. I wanted a bunk bed. Then I went to college, and I didn't want a bunk bed any longer. But yeah, I think about bunk beds. And they said, Dad, can we get bunk beds? We want bunk beds. We want our own space. So my wife jumped on, Walmart.com, ordered these bunk beds. And, in my mind, I knew this probably was not going to be the case. But in my mind, I desired for them to show up at the door already built. Yeah, I know it's wishful thinking. And I wanted them to just show up and to be, I wanted them to fit through the doors and just be set up, but that wasn't the case. Man, I remember a couple weeks ago, men looked out the door four big boxes? I think it was four big boxes sitting out there. And I was like, man, this would be a headache. And it was a headache. And boy, I opened those things up and pieces of wood lying all over the place, screws and nuts and bolts lying all over the place. And I looked at that thing and I tried healing them. I tried praying over it. Nothing worked, all right? So I guess I can't be a TV preacher. But I'm like, man, how's this going to work, And you know what I had to do? I had to get out that big old manual, that instruction manual. I had to follow that thing. I had to follow that thing to the T. Why? Because if I didn't, what was going to happen? I was going to use a long screw for a place where it needed a short screw. It was going to split the wood, and it wasn't going to... Why? I had to follow the instructions if I wanted the end result to be what it ought to be. You know what I think about when it comes to my life? If I want to one day stand before Jesus Christ and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," you know what I've got to do? I've got to follow the manual. I can't step out on my own. I can't do it out my own way. I can't be like, "Well, you know what? It's cool. I can step out and disobey." No, no, no. I've got to stick with the manual. And Nehemiah looked at his brother. He said, "Man, I know your heart. You're a man that's following God. You're a man that's fearing God. You're a man that is faithful." And Nehemiah could say to his brother, "I'm placing you as the leader in Israel, the leader of Jerusalem." Why? Because he was a man that followed the instructions of his authority. Hey, let me remind you tonight, child of God, our authority is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. I wonder tonight, are you completely following Him? Are you in obedience to His Word? If not tonight, why don't we make the commitment? Why don't we make the decision to be like Hananiah? Not many verses on him. Not many verses on his fellow partner in crime. But Nehemiah placed these two men in charge of a big city. And boy, if I remember my memory serves me correctly, there was, I think, 80,000, 70,000, something like that in that city. And Nehemiah said, "I'm placing you over them." Why? Because you proved yourself faithful. He was one that was faithful. He was a man that feared God. And he was a man that followed instruction. I wonder tonight, child of God, are you implementing these principles into your life? If not tonight, let's make the choice to be like these men and faithfully fear and follow our Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the reminder. Lord, this message tonight wasn't anything earth-shattering, wasn't anything we haven't heard before, but it's something that we need to be reminded of. And Lord, you told in 2 Peter, you made the statement about the importance of reminding us because we're forgetful. Lord, so many times we forget to follow the instruction book, the Word of God. Lord, so many times we don't live in a fear with a fear of God and respect and awe of you. Father, so many times we're not faithful. Lord, we become unfaithful. Help that not to be the case in your people tonight. Lord, help us to keep our eyes upon Christ this evening. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And just a moment, we're going to be dismissed in prayer this evening. But I wonder how many say, "Pastor, man, God spoke to my heart. Man, I needed this message. Need to be reminded to be faithful. Need to be reminded to fear God. Need to be reminded to follow the instructions. God has used His word tonight in my heart. Would you pray for me, Pastor, this week about the decision I need to make regarding this message?" If that's you and God spoke to you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up all over the room? Preacher, pray for me. Good. Man, good number of hands. Good. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, bless your word tonight. Help us to be faithful. And Lord Jesus, I pray this evening that we would leave with a heartbeat and a desire to follow you. Lord, we pray for the upcoming activities of this church here. On Wednesday, we got church, and then Saturday, we got the visitation. Lord, help us to be faithful, serving you and following you. And Lord, we want to see you blessed, and we want you to move and work in a special way. So use us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together, and we're going to do something. Let's sing that song. Oh, how many know the chorus, "Oh, How I Love Jesus"? All right, let's all stand together. And I know a little different tonight, but we're going to sing it a cappella. All right, those of you that know parts. Chrissy, can you just give us a note, "Oh, How I Love Jesus"? You got the song? Oh, boy, she has it. I didn't know that. Throwing her a curveball for her tonight. But let's just be dismissed tonight singing that chorus.